This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Born in the 50s, looking so bald, Fender Stratocaster. Everything your parents hated about rock and roll, Fender, Fender, Fender.
The Fender Stratocaster turns 40 this year. When music dealers were introduced to this electric guitar in the spring of 1954, they didn't quite know what to make of it. Nor could they know how it would set the music world on its ear. Yeah, there's just something about that Fender Stratocaster sound. Even if you've never heard the name Fender Stratocaster, you've undoubtedly heard the guitar. And if asked to picture an electric guitar in your imagination, a Stratocaster is probably what you'll see. The long neck topped with an angled row of tuning pegs, three rows of dots under the strings, those are the pickups, and a body whose curves form two horns on either side of the neck.
The Stratocaster that was launched in 1954 was pretty much a revelation.
Tony Bacon is co-author with Paul Day of The Fender Book, a complete history of Fender electric guitars.
There were several features about it that were quite different to what existed. It was a solid body guitar. It wasn't the first one. Fender already had a solid body. But it had three pickups, where most electrics had one or two pickups. That's the device that actually produces the sound from the strings. It had a vibrato system, which was a means of kind of wobbling the strings almost to get a new kind of sound. It had a body that was shaped to fit the player, so it was more comfortable to play. And it had a number of other sort of technical things about it, but the main thing was that it just looked fantastic. It looked so different to what was around. It still does to this day.
Dan Smith is vice president of marketing for Fender electric guitars.
It was sleek, it was feminine, in the lines that it had, but it was space age at the same time. And if you really think back to it, in the early 50s is when the whole space thing kind of started. Hence the name, the Stratocaster. So this was kind of like the space age guitar. It had that look, it had a modern look. It certainly wasn't a guitar that some kid's father would play. It was something that was loud and raunchy, and it had this sound that blended, went great with rock and roll. And rock and roll was really the voice of that generation.
Although snapped up by rock and rollers, the Stratocaster was designed originally with Western swing guitarists in mind.
In Western swing groups, there would many times be three and four guitar players, like steel guitar, and another couple of electric guitar players, and the Stratocaster fit the voicing of all these things so well. It had such a great capacity.
It's been said that Bill Carson is the man for whom the Stratocaster was designed. Carson played in the 50s with Western swing artists such as Hank Thompson, Lefty Frizzell, and Spade Cooley. He was also company founder Leo Fender's guinea pig, testing out the first Stratocaster prototypes. Some of the Strat's distinctive features and improvements on the guitar's predecessor, the Telecaster, came from Carson's suggestions. The comfort contour body, for example, with the carved-out back. You see, Carson said a good guitar should fit like a custom-made shirt.
The edge of the Telecaster body was rather sharp, and when you were sitting on a stool, either at a recording session or in a club gig, the edge of that Telecaster just dug into my ribs to where they were sore all the time. In addition to that, my right arm was at an improper angle, and so I sawed the thing up to where it started to fit. And that's what gave him the idea of what I really wanted, in addition to a vibrato or tremolo device for steel guitar effects, which were pretty needed in the recording studios in those days. Because if you could use a vibrato in conjunction with a tone volume pedal and play steel guitar glisses, you could sometimes get paid double scale on a session. So that's there were several needs there that the Telecaster just didn't have what it took to get the job done.
So Leo Fender took this little complaint of yours and managed to turn it into a product, into something you could touch and feel.
Yes, indeed. After we finally got the what I called our breadboard model together, and I played it in clubs and on sessions and would loan it once in a while there to one of the other guys in the area on the West Coast, you'd have to get out and chase them down because they wouldn't bring it back. It played so well. And it was a real dream machine to play.
I must say it's become an icon across the world, actually, not just in America where it was made.
Again, Fender book author Tony Bacon.
The Stratocaster has been used by virtually every great guitar player that you care to name. And I think it's the popularity of the Stratocaster is really down to the fact that it's such a versatile instrument. Musicians will tell you that they can hear a particular player's sound coming across on the Stratocaster more than other guitars.
Describe then the sound that some one individual would have made. Give us an example.
From the 50s, I think probably the person most associated with the Stratocaster was Buddy Holly, and he made a very distinctive, bright, ringing sound with the Stratocaster, as you can hear on any number of his records. I would point to one in particular, which is Peggy Sue. And if you listen to the solo on that record, which Buddy Holly plays with chords rather than single notes. Just before he comes in, he has to change the sound. The Stratocaster has a switch on it to make the sound brighter.
Well, I love you, gal. I want you, Peggy Sue.
I feel my whole adolescence flashing before me in the discussions of this guitar. I'm thinking of, you know, George Harrison in Nowhere Man.
In 65, I think it probably was, he recorded Nowhere Man, the solo on a Stratocaster, and that is a typically glassy, toppy sound that you can get from the Strat, if you like.
This is also the guitar that Jimi Hendrix torched.
Yes, unfortunately, Hendrix seems to be better known for setting light to the Stratocaster, but he played it very well as well. When I was researching the Fender book, one of the Fender salesmen from that time told me that Hendrix caused more Fenders to be sold than all the Fender salesmen put together. One of my favourite tracks is a track called Little Wing, which is a very cool Calding kind of track. People always think of him as a screaming lead guitar player, but you listen to that track and you'll hear the other side of the Stratocaster.
On your radio today, you can hear Bonnie Raitt playing a Fender Stratocaster. Jeff Beck is associated with the Stratocaster. Robert Cray plays the Stratocaster. I mean, it's still around.
Mm, yeah, it is. I mean, Bonnie Raitt is my favorite current guitarist using a Stratocaster. And you don't have to look around very far to find somebody playing a Stratocaster, but you have to look a long way to find somebody as good as Bonnie Raitt. Her speciality, if you like, is slide guitar. She uses a slide on her left hand. Listen to a track called Thing Called Love, and you'll hear her at her best, I think, making the Strat sound absolutely fantastic.
Bill Carson, there's a picture of you I see here with a Stratocaster. It says it was taken in the mid-50s. Cimarron red. Now, where do those distinctive Fender colors come from?
As a matter of fact, I believe all of the paints that we used in the beginning were automotive lacquers. The first ones came from a hardware store. And if you've seen some of the older catalog, you can see the Cadillac things that are in there, like Fire Mist Gold, Fire Mist Silver, and such as that.
Really gave them sort of a real distinctive look.
Yes, it did, and they were pretty sissy looking. I took an ocean turquoise on a job one time. It was a mistake. I thought I was going to have a fight before I could get off of it, because real guys just didn't play those funny colored guitars in those days.
Today, coats of many colors are spray-painted on 250 to 300 guitars every day at the Fender plant in Corona, California. 330 people work in this complex of 8 nondescript, one-story cinder block buildings in an industrial park west of Los Angeles. Here, giant automated machines cut the Strat bodies out of blocks of high-quality ash, alder, and poplar. The bodies are sanded and buffed by hand. Then the necks, hardware, and electronics are added. After the final assembly, a row of tuners and testers make sure the guitars are free of bugs before they're boxed and shipped.
Well, this one's perfect. The winner.
If you want to play a guitar like Eric Clapton's, or Jeff Beck's, or Stevie Ray Vaughan's, you'd buy what's known as a Signature Series Stratocaster, made here at the Fender Custom Shop in Corona, where master builders make one-of-a-kind pieces and special orders. John Page has been in charge of this shop since it began in 1987.
What was kind of cool about Fender guitars, you know, all along, the Stratocaster, the Telecaster, was they're kind of like this this bolt-on do-it-yourself or you can play with it kind of a thing. You know, whereas before, with the glue-in necks and the glue-on bridges and all that type of a thing, is like this magic, oh, no, can't touch it, you know? This kind of like, it always reminds me of mini truck bolt-ons, you know? I mean, you can buy a spoiler for your Stratocaster kind of a thing. Hey, I'll put louvered windows on my Stratocaster. So, yeah, they've been kind of tweaking with it from day one. I think that's one of the reasons why people have always gotten a relationship with their Strats.
When someone requests a custom Strat, is it mostly a cosmetic request?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of things. Fortunately, the Stratocaster has a 40-year history behind it. So normally when people call and order a custom Strat, they're trying to capture an era or a vibe or a feel or a sound of one of their special instruments or a series of their special instruments. They might say, I had a 56 Stratocaster that I loved the neck on, but my 60s smoked tonally, you know, so I want to get more of the beef out of like the 60s and instead of the mellowness of the 50s, but I really like gold sparkle, you know, and I'd love to have my name inlaid on the neck or something. So it's kind of like being able to take that 40-year history and combine it into any way, shape, or form for any customer.
My name is Larry Brooks. This particular guitar is Robert Cray's number one guitar, the guitar he plays most of the time in concerts and in the recording studio. The reason we have it is Robert's criteria for his guitars are changing and needing a smaller, rounder neck with different frets on it. So he's asked us to take his number one guitar and match the current guitar that he's playing, which is one that I built for him a couple months ago. And we made it a little bit different on the neck, the back of the neck, and the frets. And we're going to do the same thing to this guitar that we did to his new guitar.
So the only thing that you will do is essentially change the neck. The body here is going to stay exactly the same with the sort of half-eaten-off rawhide logo, right?
Correct. Yes, correct. This is the one that you see most of the time when you see his picture, because it is his favorite. And this half-eaten logo, if we changed it, everybody wouldn't believe it's the original guitar. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it just like it is.
How did the two of you work together in building a guitar?
As with most of the artists, they are so busy that I have very little chance to meet with them. So I either meet with their technicians or I get their guitar for one day, and then we send it back. But a lot of the artists, not a lot, most of the artists that we deal with are like that.
Who else have you worked with?
Oh, my goodness. Eric Clapton, Bonnie Raitt, Stevie Ray Vaughan before he died, Jeff Beck, Brian Adams, the late Kurt Cobain. I built his two custom guitars. And that's primarily my job. I deal with about 90% of Fender's 240 top-notch musicians I build for them, so that they have one person that they can always go to rely on.
You like your job?
I love it. There is no better job. This is play for me. It's been my love since, I've been a master builder for 24 years. And it's not work. It absolutely isn't. They haven't come up with a guitar that I would call work. They're all just it's a piece of art that I get to create that continues making music.
In 1954, the Fender Stratocaster was called the guitar of tomorrow. 40 years later, is it still?
I think it is. I think as long as there are pop groups making music and using electric guitars, the Stratocaster will continue to be used.
Tony Bacon is co-author with Paul Day of the Fender Book, A Complete History of Fender Electric Guitars. Our feature on the 40th anniversary of the Stratocaster was produced by Ned Warden, engineered by Manoli Wetherill, and mixed by Leslie Gaston. Special thanks to Norma Velvicus, Scott Grant, and Doug Mills. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with variations by Steph Scajari and Greg Mr. Lick Smith. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.